Today I want to talk about, how many has ever heard of Charles Capps? Charles Capps. Well, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. Yeah, he passed on. A couple of years ago it was. His daughter, what's her name? Annette Capps, kind of has taken over the ministry, whatever. It wasn't like, we saw Charles Capps several times in person, preach and teach and stuff, and he was really big, and he has a lot of these little booklets, you know. I think we have some out there, and today some of what I'm teaching came from what I learned from Charles Capps about God's law of believing and receiving. Okay, I don't remember if that's one of the books we got out of there or not. God's law of believing and receiving, okay? But let's pray first. Father, we come before you, Father, and we're going to lift up your word and study it. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you give us insight, revelation, and that we will receive wisdom and understanding from this message. Holy Spirit, we just pray for understanding that it will change our lives and our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Believing, the word believing or believe has, let me put it this way, there's tremendous power in believing, okay? Believing, there is tremendous power in believing, just believing something. In turn to Mark chapter 1, we read something that Jesus said. Mark chapter 1, and verse 15. Well, we can read 14. Mark 1:14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Okay? Verse 15. Now Jesus is speaking. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Okay? The good news. Okay. The time has come. You know, in time, as far as time goes, you know, there was thousands of years that went by, you know, from, say, Adam to Abraham, I think it was around 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was in about 2,000 years. So 1,000 years have gone by. Now is the time, okay? God has brought Jesus into the world, okay? And it's time. Jesus said, the time has come, okay? Because before that was just the old law, the Old Testament, everything. Now here comes Jesus. And he says, the kingdom of God is near, you know. And, you know, Jesus used to say that in the scriptures quite a few times, as the kingdom of God is upon you, okay. And, you know, does anybody know where the kingdom of God is? Or not you. The kingdom of God is within you, okay. That's, the kingdom of God is where God rules. If it's your kingdom, that's where you rule, right? A king has a kingdom. This kingdom is where he rules, right? The king, see, has a big castle, and he has a certain amount of land, and all the people that lives in there, that's his kingdom, right? And the king rules in there. He rules over that. Well, the kingdom of God is within you, in your heart. And if God rules in there, then, you know, the kingdom of God is in your heart, and that's where God rules. Amen? And he comes and lives within you, right? Remember the scripture, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Well, God's kingdom is within you. That's what the Bible says. You know, I'm not, you know, it wasn't, you know, I'm not saying that because I had some bad pizza last night. That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen? So he's here now, and he says the kingdom of God is near. So what's he tell them to do? Repent and believe. Okay? what? The good news, see? God doesn't just tell us to believe, but he tells us what to believe. Amen. And how we're to believe. What does he say? Repent and believe the good news. Amen. You are commanded to believe the good news. Now, repentance, the first thing he says, you know, John the Baptist had been preaching the same thing, really. And repentance is, and I notice that a lot of times when they give a, they're trying to preach the gospel or, you know, get people saved, they don't talk about repentance very much. They just say, you know, come to God and he will give you everything you ever wanted, you know. Big Santa Claus in the sky or something. Jesus says, repent. That's the first thing. Repentance comes, you know, first. And repentance is a biblical definition would be a turning away from sin, from disobedience or rebellion, and turning back to God, okay? In a more general sense, repentance means a change of mind. You're going this way in your life of sin, right? You're going down the road of sin on your way to hell, okay? That repentance means you turn around and now you're going this way, right? Going down the road of life with faith in Jesus Christ, amen? That's what repentance means, that you change your mind, a feeling of remorse or regret for past conduct. True repentance is godly sorrow for sin, an act of turning around and going in the opposite direction, okay? You repent from your sin. You're sorry for your sin of the life that you used to live, right? You got to, you know, flash, you know, I'm on my way to hell, man. If something doesn't change or stop, you know, I'm going to end up in hell. And so I'm going to repent of that. I can't, boy, that sin is just so repugnant to me now. I want to turn around and go with God. And it's just a step of faith at first, you know. You don't understand hardly anything. It's just that you're just like a little child. You're going to take that step of faith and you're going to call out to Jesus, right? And that's when that miracle happens and he changes you. Now, sin is so repugnant, you can't even stand that. You know, you don't want to do that. And you're just changed, you know. And so repentance is a big deal. And a lot of churches and stuff, they don't want to talk about repentance because, well, man, that might make somebody feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Or if you talk about hell or sin or repentance, man, that might make somebody feel uncomfortable. We can't talk about that stuff. All we can talk about is what God's going to give you and how wonderful it's going to be in heaven. And gosh, God is going to make you rich and give you a bigger house and a better job and a better parking spot and all this good stuff that God's going to do for you. And there's not anything said about repentance. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, boy, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. The first thing he said to do was repent and believe. I say Jesus thinks that repentant business is pretty important, doesn't he? Because here's the deal. You're not going to get saved and have all the blessings of God fall into your life, into your lap, and continue down a road of sin. Right? That is not going to happen. I don't know who told you you could do it, but it is not going to happen. Brother, sister, you got to turn from that sin, repent from it, and turn to Jesus. Amen? That's the truth. And, you know, I'm not going to be guilty of not telling people that. You know, that's part of the gospel, you know. And that's important. Because Jesus said, repent and believe. Believe what? The gospel, okay? Or the gospel and good news is the same thing, okay? And what is the good news? The joyous good news is the salvation is in Jesus Christ. You don't have to die and go to hell anymore. You don't have to be separated from God because of sin. Now you can come back and be in right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's how you come back and you can be saved now. You don't have to be separated from God. You can come back, you know, through Christ Jesus. Now you can become acceptable to God. There is salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, that's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel. The gospel is the saving work of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and a call to faith in him, faith in Jesus. Jesus is more than a messenger of the gospel. He is the gospel. You know, Jesus didn't just preach the gospel. He is the gospel. Amen. The good news of God was present in his life, in his teaching, and in atoning death. Therefore, the gospel is both a historical event and a personal relationship. The New Testament has four versions of one gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four gospels. Amen. Four versions. Now, Jesus tells us to repent and believe, okay? He tells us we must believe, okay? That is not an intellectual thing that you just do in your head. And a lot of people are getting messed up on that, right? You believe in your heart. Hey, the devil knows that Jesus is there, right? The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. Is he saved? No, just intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ is not going to get anybody saved, right? There's a lot of people that mental condensation or whatever you call it, huh? Mental assent, just the knowledge of Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus was a prophet and he was in the Bible. Yeah, I know that. I acknowledge that. That's not going to get you saved. No, you got to ask him to come into your heart, amen, and save me, make me a new person. You surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. And I put my faith in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he came here and he died for my sins, right? He rose from the dead, and then he went up to be in heaven with the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. You got to believe that Jesus is your salvation, man. He's the Son of God. Salvation is in Jesus and no other way. Amen? That's the gospel message. It was Jesus. Here he was walking around, you know. The kingdom of God is here, man. You know, repent and believe, you know. What they're going to have to believe is that Jesus is the Messiah, you know. He is the one that God has sent. It's time has come, Jesus said. It's time, you know. God has a plan. Everything is laid out. He's got a time that's going to, for all these things to happen. And, you know, Jesus came. We've pretty much gone through what most Bible scholars think is the church age. 2,000 years. Okay. 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. That's 4,000. The church age, 2,000 years, because this is what, 2016, since Jesus came? That's, we're getting, you know, around 6,000 years, you know, plus or minus or whatever. I don't know if they got it down to a, you know, perfect or not. But, you know, and then the millennium is another 1,000 years. When Jesus comes back, there will be 1,000 years when the devil's locked up and, you know, Jesus is going to rule right here on earth. He's coming. So that would be 7,000 years. You know, and 7 is always a big deal in the Bible, right? And so that's why so many know that we are in the last days. This is all coming. But believing is important. We've got to believe. Amen? You turn from your wicked ways. You turn from sin. You say, I don't want that life. I want Jesus. Amen? I want to turn my life around. I want to be saved. I want salvation. I want to have eternal life. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Brother, I can tell you what, that's a big incentive, isn't it? How much more incentive do you have to have, right? I believe in hell. People don't even believe in the devil. They don't believe in hell. You know, man, you know, that's just exactly what the devil... That's just what the devil wants, amen? If he can get you to the spot where you don't even believe in him, man, he's got it made. You know what I mean? Just, there's no hell, there's no devil. If he can get you thinking like that, boy, you're easy pickings. Easy pickings. You better know that there is an enemy. You better know who he is and how to defend yourself, right? God, Jesus did not leave us here defenseless. That right, Brother Dale? Okay, I don't want you going to sleep on me over there. He has given us the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, right? The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, I believe it was. And yes, see, we got good people here, know the Bible. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. Amen. We've got armor. Amen. He didn't leave us here defenseless. Besides that, we have the power attorney with the name of Jesus. Amen. We got the Holy Ghost living in us, helping us and guiding us and showing things. Amen. The name of Jesus, the blood. Amen. The Holy Ghost. We are equipped, man. And he gives us authority to use his name and says, hey, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Amen. Glory to God. We got authority over the devil and them demons. And the trouble is, too many Christians don't know that. They don't know how to take their spiritual authority. Okay? But we are. We are doing that. We are learning. Now, in Mark 9, Mark 9, verse 14, this is stories about the healing of a boy with an evil spirit. Well, by golly, the Bible don't know what it's talking about. There ain't no evil spirits. There ain't no devils, right? Well, there sure is. Yeah, they would just have you believe that there ain't nothing like that, that that's all a figment of somebody's imagination. But that's not true. There is. Now, in verse 14, Mark 9:14, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Verse 16, Jesus says, what are you arguing with them about? Yes. Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Okay? And I could see where Jesus would get really, really upset about this. How dare one of these pathetic little demons resist the men of God, right? How could this happen? And what does he say? And I can just see how in my mind's eye, I can see what he's giving. He says, oh, unbelieving generation, right? Like he was just kind of disgusted with the whole thing. Oh, unbelieving generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Can you see how he's just, to me, it just says he's just really disappointed in these guys that this demon is standing up to these disciples, right, and resisting. They're not coming out, and these guys are trying to cast out this devil, and they're saying the devil won't come out. And Jesus is just, he is just really angry about this, right? Come on, you know, the name of Jesus is great and powerful, and they should be able to drive this demon out of him. And so, it goes on, and it says, so they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. Now get this, what this man says, because this is the point we're getting at here. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Say, now before Jesus can do anything, he's got to get this man's faith, you know, his confession, there has to be a correction here. The man says, but if you can do anything, there's not one even little tiny drop of faith in that statement. If you can do anything, there's no faith in the word if. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus got to deal with this before he can do anything, because the man's he has no faith and he's not expressing any faith. Jesus has to deal with this. So Jesus comes back. Now, in my Bible, it says, if you can, question mark. Like when the guy says, if you can do anything, you know, and Jesus would, it's kind of like, what do you mean, if I can do anything? Right? Come on, you know. Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. So he's got to get this guy straightened out, right? Amen? Don't shut me down, folks. Can you understand what I'm saying here? Man, if you got no faith, nothing's going to happen. If you don't believe, nothing's going to happen. See, nothing's going to happen unless you start believing. It says, everything is possible for him who believes. So he's got to get this straightened out. So the man, immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Boy, did it take him a split second to change his attitude, didn't it? I do believe. Amen. Before he was going, well, if you can do anything, now he's going, man, I believe, right? I mean, it didn't take him long to change his attitude, right? I know Brother Hagin said at one time that he was real poor, and all his tires were bald and blowing out, and he didn't have no money, and he was complaining, trying to feed his family. And God said, he said, I am, I forget what he said, what God told Brother Hagin about it. Yeah, you're willing. He said, I've been obedient or something. And God said, you're not willing or something. And he had the scripture. And he said, man, I changed my attitude so fast. It was like a split second. He said, boy, he got his attitude changed right now. And boy, I mean, then all, you know, God was able to start blessing him and money started coming in and changed everything, you know. He wasn't willing. He was obedient to God, but he wasn't willing. There was something to do. Explained. I can't remember the whole story how it went, but yeah, he was really complaining. And boy, when God told him where he was missing it at, bang, boy, I mean, he changed his attitude and made the correction right now. You know what I mean? You don't have to take a year or 6 months to try to talk yourself into changing. If you want God to do something and he shows you what it is, boy, you change your attitude right now. You make the correction. Amen? And that's what this guy did. Immediately, the boy's father, I can imagine this is the last word got out of Jesus' mouth. The man was saying, I changed my attitude. I do believe, right? When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Okay? See, what this tells you in this little story is that, you know, the guy asked him about this, if he could, you know, listen. Jesus' response to this question to this man reveals that it was not a question of whether Jesus could do anything, you know, but rather, can you believe for it? See, and that same question is applied to us. When you're believing or you want something in your life or whatever it is, it's not a matter of can Jesus do it. It's a matter of can you believe for it. You understand? You think, well, I don't know why God won't do this or why God won't do that. He seemed like he helps everybody else. How come he ain't helping me, you know, and blah, blah, blah. It's not a matter of can Jesus do it, but can you believe for it? See, he wants to give you your heart's desire, okay? You know, it's like the big Walmart up in heaven, you know? I know some people shudder when you say the word Walmart. But listen, you know, they don't take Visa cards up there. They don't take dollar bills. Faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Okay? Faith is the currency of heaven. That's how you get the things that you want. God has them all. If he don't have it, guess what? He'll make it. Yeah, God just can. Well, he made the world, didn't he? Didn't he make the universe? Didn't he make us? Hey, there's nothing he would withhold from you. If you ask God for something that's not in existence, he'd make it for you. Yeah. But it's faith. Faith is a currency of heaven, and you just don't get anything without faith, without believing. Amen? And so, boy, see, Jesus pointed this out to this man about his son. He needed to change his confession, what he's saying. Well, how do you do that? You got to change what you're believing, and then if that's what you're believing, your mouth's going to line up with it, right? Because that's where your mouth talks from, what's in your heart, right? Your words, the words of your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. Isn't that right? Eventually, if you listen to somebody talk long enough, you're going to find out what they're all about, what's in their heart. Amen? If you listen to them and all they're doing is talking trash, you can say, this guy, he just ain't figured it out yet, right? But if he's talking good, positive things, talking, you know, prosperity, he's talking about how God good is and how, you know, all this kind of stuff, well, you can locate them. Amen? You can locate them. You might say, well, how could this man says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Okay? What this guy did, he believed. He used his, what faith he did have, he used it to the limit. Okay? Whatever faith he did have, he didn't have a whole lot of faith, but what he did have, he used it, he maxed it out, right? He maxed out the credit card, so to speak. Amen? And he said, help me in my unbelief. I do believe, he says, help me overcome my unbelief. So he believed with what he had, with all he had. And he had believed as far as he could with the knowledge that he had. Okay? Everybody see that? Don't go sleep on me now, folks. This is exciting stuff. If you get hold of it, I'll tell you what, you can take one verse out of the Bible, and if you'll study it and get on to it, and the Holy Ghost will show you stuff, it could change your whole life. One verse out of the Bible. This could tell you maybe where you're kind of missing it at a little bit. In Matthew 8:13, and just because I'm talking about that particular scripture don't mean I've said everything there is to say about that scripture, right? You could study that scripture and read about it, and the Holy Spirit could show you a whole different angle to that scripture and bless you. Matthew 8:13, this is about the faith of the centurion. Okay? Now, let's read this here real quick. Now, Matthew 8:5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Verse 6, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Okay, that's the words of Jesus. I will go and heal him. Well, what does that mean? That means, I don't know where this servant was at, if he was in the next town or where he, but Jesus is going to walk there or he's going to ride a donkey, right? That's what he's going to do. I will go to the servant. Wherever the sick servant's at, Jesus is going to travel there, right? This just blew Jesus away. Excuse me for using that kind of language, but it did. I think it just shocked Jesus a little bit. The centurion replied, because Jesus said, I'm going to go to this servant of yours. I'm going to travel there, and, you know, I'll take care of it. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. That's what I said. I said, just kind of blew Jesus away when this man said that. I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that you may that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing teeth. Hey, this centurion, you know, was not a Jew. Yeah, this guy was a Gentile. And he's got more faith than anybody in Israel. He's not even a Jew. He's a Gentile, a Roman soldier. And man, he just blows Jesus away with this faith that he's got. Why? Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done. When I read this, God made this jump out at me. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. That word just means exactly. Exactly. You look up that word just. It means exactly. And it showed me his faith changed what Jesus was going to do. You understand? Your faith can change what God was going to do or what was going to happen. Your faith. Jesus was going to go travel over there on a donkey or walk. And because of this guy's great faith, now Jesus was able to just speak. This guy might have lived 50 or 100 miles away. He could just speak the word and that kid's going to be healed. That servant's going to be healed. You understand what that man's faith did? That's why it blew Jesus away. He says, man, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. See, the centurion understood authority. He knew Jesus had authority over sickness and disease, that he had this power. Hey, a centurion meant, he had 100 soldiers under him, a centurion. He says, go here, do that, you know. Whatever he commanded them to do, they would do. So he understood authority. He knew Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. He didn't have to go there. He could just speak it. And I mean, that just blowed, you know. Jesus was, you astonished God. Jesus is God in the flesh. This man, I mean, you know, came out of nowhere with this faith and astonished Jesus. See, but what the Lord showed me was you can change what God's going to do with your faith. He will adjust to your faith. God will adjust to your faith. Whatever you're believing for, he will adjust and give it to you exactly what you're believing for, exactly what your faith is, you know, asking for believing. He will change and do and give you exactly what you're believing for. Amen? It's not like, you know, one pill for every ailment, right? He will tailor-made your faith will be, he will just give you exactly what you're believing for. Amen? You're not locked into anything based on what other people believe and this and that. God will give you exactly what you're believing for. Amen? That is exciting. Amen? And that's why he was so astonished. Your faith can change what God's going to do. It can change your life and all kinds of things. Amen? John, we need to understand the word based on in the light of John 15:7. So let's look at John 15:7. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Okay? You can't just go popping off prayers and requests off the top of your head. You know what I'm saying? And expect that the Lord is going to give you every little thing you ask for, because a lot of times you're praying wrong. You're believing wrong. Okay? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, right? The word of God, see? The word of God. In other words, if you... This verse does not guarantee that we can get anything we want simply by asking Jesus and believing. God does not grant requests that would hurt us or others or violate his own nature or will, right? You're praying. It can't just be some wild, I need 7 Rolls Royces, you know, like the Rajneesh guy up there, remember, in Antelope, Oregon? You know, the ones that poison all the people at the restaurant there in the gorge? You remember them? Yeah, they all wore red. bright red. You see them hitchhiking up and down the I-5. All these guys were doctors, lawyers, educated people, and they were all going up to the Raj, up to Antelope, Oregon. This Rajneesh guy, I don't know where he was from, India? They bought like a 100,000-acre ranch, and they set up this little kingdom up there. He had a Rolls Royce for every day of the week, and he had guys walking alongside of him when he drove around through there with AK-47s. And they were unbelievable. Yeah. And they were trying to take over that whole county in the city of Antelope, and they tried to disrupt the voting process. They went down to a big restaurant in the biggest, I guess, the town that was closest to them there in the gorge, and they put, what was it they put in the salad bar? It was salmonella type stuff. They sprinkled it all over the salad bar. On the day of the election, the day before the election, hundreds of people got sick and they were throwing up, they couldn't vote and all this. Obviously people went to jail over this. It was a big deal. That wasn't that long ago, was it? Time must really go by. Well, I guess that was, it was probably back in the 80s. How many of you guys were born in the 80s? Yeah, you're probably way too young. Yeah, it was a weird, you would be surprised with things that have happened that you don't know about. Yeah, they call them the Rajneeshes. They had this guy from India that was supposed to be a, I don't know what you call him, guru dude. But he had all these followers. I mean, these were educated people, man. Lawyers and educated, degreed people. And they just gave everything. It was just like, it was like free love, free sex, everybody just whatever, you know. And you can just do whatever you want. It's like Christianity's too restrictive, right? We got to repent. We can't sin anymore. Well, we start up a new religion where you can do anything you want to, right? Yeah, free sex, orgies, whatever, you know. Yeah, let's start up our own new religion where we're free to do anything. You know how many people will go into that kind of thing? Whoopee, you know, hey, boy, that's a road down to hell, man. You know what I mean? And some of those people were sent to prison. I remember the one woman, Ma Sheila. Was her name Ma Sheila? She kind of controlled everything, but ended up in prison. And but you'd see them going up, hitchhiking around on I-5 and that. They would be dressed in total red. Red pants and red shirts, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know, probably, Lynn, you remember that? And Joyce remembers. You bought one of their tents. Oh, yeah? How big a tent was it? Just. Oh, wow. Well, I know they took over the town of Antelope. You know, they got in, elected, you know, they became the mayor and all the councilmen and everything. They just basically took it over because through sheer numbers, you know. I don't know how I got off on that. There must have been a reason. But people will go off, follow all kinds of weird voices and cults and things like this. You got to be grounded in the Word, right? Oh, I know what it was. You can't just pray you wanted all these Rolls Royces, right? And I just click. I saw the picture. They used to show it on TV of that Rajneesh, whatever his name was, you know, in his Rolls Royce, and there would be crowds of people going, oh, you know, like it's the Messiah. With guys with AK-47s, I mean, in Oregon, AK-47s walking alongside of the Rolls Royces and protecting him and doing all this. It was just insane. And, you know, our prayers have to be in line with the will of God. He will give us all what we need, but we have to make sure that we know the Word of God, that we know how to pray, right? We're just not asking for things that might hurt other people. You know, well, in Jesus' name, Father, I want my neighbor, Marilyn, over here has a husband. And I want him. I think he should have been my husband, you know. Well, come on, you know. You can't just pray for anything. Or, Lord, that guy that's got that better job than me at work, just make him break his leg or something and disappear. I want that job, right? Because, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You can't pray things like that. Some people, I mean, you wouldn't probably pray exactly like that, but some things you might pray would be maybe manipulating somebody or you know, trying to do things that would not be right in the eyes of the Lord. Your motives are wrong. And yeah, some of it even gets into witchcraft. Jesus' statement is not a blank check, you know, where he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But it's connected into the will of God and the word of God. We don't just pray whatever we want, always being selfish and, you know, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, you know. But we're praying the will of God. We are to be living for Jesus, amen, giving our lives to him, letting him live through us, amen, and everything. And so to be fulfilled, our request must be in harmony with the principles of God's kingdom. The stronger our belief, the more likely our prayers will be in line with God's will, and then God will be happy to grant them. Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John. We talked about this scripture. I like to go to this because I want you all to know this scripture. You get it memorized because it's one that you need to know. It will build your confidence so much. You will get answers to your prayers if you will do what it says here. First John, did I get it right? 5:14. Okay. And it says, 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We should have confidence when we approach God, right? Are we just rattling off a prayer and we're kind of like, I don't know if God's going to hear this or not, right? This will tell you how you can have confidence that when you go to God in prayer, you are going to get your answer. Amen? You can know it with full assurance. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, right? So the question is, well, how do I know God's will? Right? There you go, sister.
The Bible.
The Bible, right. The Bible is the will of God, right? And so then it goes on, it says, verse 15, and if we know that it says, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, right? That's the key. You want God to hear you. See, God doesn't hear everybody's prayers and requests. You know, I thought he did, but he don't. The Bible's clear about the heathen and the wicked. The prayers don't even get to God unless it's a prayer of repentance and salvation. So he hears, if we pray according to his will, he's going to hear us. Now the next verse says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. So you see, it's just that simple. If you pray according to his will, which is his word, you know he's going to hear you, right? And if he hears you, you've got it, in other words. Because you prayed, you brought back his word to him. You're praying the will of God. He's going to give you what you want. Amen? That's why you can pray with so much confidence. Amen? You can pray with so much confidence. You know God's going to answer you because you're praying in line with his will. Amen? And a lot of our praying and everything has to do with, in other words, let's put it this way. In order to have real faith, you've got to know what God has said in his word, right? If you don't know what God has said, if you don't know what's in your Bible, how can you pray that prayer of faith, right? Because your prayer of faith is going to be based on the word of God, right? If you're going to get an answer. If you don't know what's in your Bible, and you don't have any knowledge, how can you pray that prayer of faith? You're just kind of like, you might get a prayer answer, but it's kind of like you're throwing darts in the dark. You know, like you got a dartboard up on the wall and turn the lights off and you're throwing at it. Well, you may hit it once in a while, right? But that's not the way you want it to work. If your knowledge of God's word is the secret. You've got to have that in you so you know how to pray, right? So your faith is kind of limited by the knowledge of the word of God that you have stored up in you. You understand that? Well, I just can't read the Bible. I just can't do this. And I just can't make it down to church. And well, you're not getting any word put in you, right? And then you wonder, why is things so crummy? Why can't I ever get any prayers answered? Why is the devil running over the top of me? Because you just don't have very little word in you at all. You don't know how to take authority over the devil and the things that are happening in your life. You don't know how to pray correctly. So God is not... You understand what I'm saying? The whole thing begins to crumble if you don't get the word of God in you. You don't know your spiritual authority. You don't even know how to pray correctly. If you pray correctly, man, I mean, God will be right there. He will answer your prayers. You will see immediate change in your life. God is not some God up there, stingy little God that doesn't want to give you what you need. He is, prayer is his idea. Please pray and ask and make requests. Present your petitions, right? Come boldly into the throne room. But man, you better not come in with a bunch of gobbledygook. You better come in with my word, man, right? Come in with my word. Ask me because your word, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and I'll give it to you, right? That's all God's saying. Come in with my word. Let the word abide in you and you can come right into the throne room, make your request, present your petitions and God, amen, sister, amen, brother. It's his own word. How can he reject his own word, right? If you come into him with with the word of God and your request is based on the word of God and, the mercy and the compassion and the things of God, if you come in like that, he can't resist you because it's his own word. See, and he doesn't want to resist. He wants to help you, but it has to be, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. In Mark chapter 1, back to Mark, trying to go faster. Mark chapter 1. We got to believe in the Word of God. We got to get it stored up into us. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. The guy had leprosy and he comes up to Jesus and he gets on his knees and he's begging Jesus. If you are willing, there's that word again, if. Remember I said there wasn't one atom of faith in that word if. If you are willing, you can make me clean. See, he did not know if it was Jesus' will. He did not know the word of God. He did not know if God's will was to heal people. Okay? And if Jesus, God has made it clear, we know in the Bible, his will is to heal people. That includes you. It doesn't mean everybody else in the world but me, right? That's what happens to a lot of people. They think, well, God will heal everybody else, but he won't heal me. You know, he'll heal you just as much, right? Verse 41. Now, don't say Jesus was not filled with compassion because it says, filled with compassion. Jesus loved this man. He felt sympathy for him, right? He had compassion on this man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, I am willing, right? I am willing. He said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. See, as soon as you know God's will in the matter, you can have faith to believe also, right? See, the guy, he wasn't questioning whether Jesus had the power to heal him. As far as that leper went, he knew Jesus had the power to do it. I'm sure Jesus' reputation, preceded him. He was healing people, but he didn't know if it was his will to heal him. He needed that personal word, yeah? If you are willing, you could heal me, make me clean. Jesus goes, I am willing. I imagine when those words came out of Jesus' mouth, boy, that guy's spirit just jumped, man. Boom, he's healed, you know? See, so it's not a question of does Jesus have the power, is he willing to? Does he want to heal me? Amen? So as soon as you get that knowledge, see, as soon as you know God's will, you can have faith, right? So you've got to know God's will. And the Word is God's will, right? The Word is His will. As soon as you know God's Word or His will, you can have faith, right? That's why you need to know the Word of God. As soon as you know what God's Word says, boy, you can believe, right? Hey, I got it right there. You know, you can look up that scripture. There might be multiple scriptures. You say, I know your will, Father. And so when you go to pray, you go walking into the throne room, get your Bible out and read it to him while you're praying if you want to, right? Well, God would just love that. Amen. You ever heard of the placebo effect? Has anybody ever heard of that? Anybody know what that is? The placebo effect? How many? Okay. This kind of demonstrates the power of believing. A newsletter from the Mayo Clinic, from the Mayo Health Clinic, described what is called the placebo effect. A placebo contains no active medication. It's like a pill, say, okay? It's got nothing in it but, say, a little flour or some sugar, okay? But it is used on patients who believe they are being treated with real medicine. Okay, like you come in and Mrs. Brown has some terrible thing wrong and they say, you know, here's a new drug that is supposed to be so effective, it's really working good, and we're going to give it to you. Amen? So she takes it and she believes that, you know, all these people have been getting healed by this pill and there ain't nothing in it but sugar or flour. Okay? There's a certain amount of deception that's going on here. This is called the placebo effect. In a series of experiments, doctors filled capsules with sugar or flour and prescribed them to patients who were told that they were receiving potent medicine. The patients believed the pills would make them well. They believed it. Okay? Many of them started improving almost immediately. Yeah. Their response is called the placebo effect. The placebo sometimes brings better results than real medicine because the patient believes it is better medicine. Medical reports document that the placebo effect has been used successfully to treat coughs, headaches, insomnia, allergies, blood pressure, and numerous other diseases. Some people receiving placebos even reported side effects of the drug they thought they were receiving. And in some cases, their use had to be terminated gradually to prevent withdrawal symptoms. Isn't that amazing? But it was because of what they believed, or in their hearts, and what in their thinking, you know. All of these responses occurred because patients believed they were receiving something that would help get them well. Okay? These experiments scientifically document the tremendous power of believing. So I said in the very beginning, the first thing I said was that there was tremendous power in believing. Tremendous power in believing, you see. And there is. Faith. Nothing is impossible if you what? Believe. Nothing is impossible if you believed. Okay? The Bible says that there's death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your words affect your brain. Your words. If you're talking doubt and unbelief all the time, negative stuff, it's going to affect your brain and everything else. If you're talking health and life and the Word of God, it's going to affect your life. You ever heard of endorphins? Endorphins? They're a thing, it's a chemical or something in your brain. And when you laugh and you're merry and happy, your body can actually produce endorphins. And it's almost like a narcotic that will stop pain and all this kind of stuff. I read a story about, I don't know who told the story, it's supposed to be a true story about a guy that was pronounced a terminal illness. He didn't have that long to live. He got all the Laurel and Hardy and Three Stooges movies and everything he could get, and he went to a motel and locked the door. And all he did was watch those things, and they said they could hear that guy laughing in there and all this. Doggone, he come out of there after a couple of weeks, and the guy was healed. This endorphins in his body, just because he was laughing and going on all the time, these endorphins were released and started healing his body. It's a natural substance in your body. Endorphins. And he wasn't even a Christian. Yeah, that's right. He wasn't even a Christian. So the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing, you know, so you don't pray, God, give me more faith, right? Because it says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want more faith, you read the word, you meditate on it, you study it, and you will start, you know, bringing up your faith level, right? You know, so that's where you get it, the word. You can't get around the word. You've got to believe, but to believe, you need the word of God in you. Right? Now, you were given that measure of faith, right, in the beginning, when you asked Jesus to come into your life and surrender, right? You had that, but that's saving grace, saving faith, you know, that we all have that a certain amount. I believe when I stick the key in my ignition, that motor's going to start up, right? I got, you know, simple faith, but if you want to go on with God into the faith realm and overcome and have victory, you're going to need more, right? And the way you get it is through the Word of God. That's how you don't want to stay a baby Christian, right? Like in kindergarten, right? Well, I hope you guys don't. Amen? That you want to grow and you want to get that faith level built up. You want to know what the Word of God is because, hey, man, it's all out there for you. You can rise up and walk in victory in everything in life. Amen? We are to be kings and priests, the Bible says, right? We're sons of the Most High God. We're not supposed to be just, oh, woe is me, woe is me, you know. Where am I going to get my next meal? Oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me. What's the deal there? Boy, Jesus would get mad if you were acting like that, right? No, we speak the words of God, amen, with faith. And things happen, and we drive off the enemy and overcome the enemy. Amen? So in conclusion, there is no substitute for believing and confessing God's Word. There is no substitute. You know, you can't come up with some old wives' tales and, you know, snake oil or whatever and get what you want. There is no substitute for believing and confessing God's words. If all you talk is trash, you'll never realize the victory in your life that God wants you to have. What you end up with is with the results of your own words and actions. Okay? And here, I know, you know, and what you want to be is you want to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. You can hear Brother Vic or read some book about positive confession and speaking the word of God. And, yeah, that's right. You know, agreeing with it. But in everyday life, when you're home with your husband and your wife and your kids, you better stop all the negative trash talk. Because, brother, that's where the rubber meets the road. You better start talking positive faith and positive stuff. Amen? Don't start going down and confessing a bunch of bad stuff. That's what you're going to get, right? I don't care what it looks like or how bad a day you're having. Do not change your confession. Amen? You stay with the Bible and you talk positive, you talk faith, because here's the deal, you're going to get what you say in the end. Amen? Somebody said, if you want to change your life and where you're headed for it, start changing your words that's coming out of your mouth. Amen? Amen? We are what we've said. A lot of where we're at today is what we said, you know, 15, 20 years ago. If I'd have known that, boy, I'd tell you what, I would have changed a lot of things I said when I was a young person. Amen? But just because things don't go bad because your husband or your wife didn't do exactly what you wanted, don't start saying bad things. Oh, you're always like that. You'll never change. You're just blah, 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 right? I mean, we all been there, man. We've all been there. No, you better say, thank you, Lord, for my helpmate. Thank you. My wife is a blessing. My husband is a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Boy, they're a, you know, and start speaking good words. Amen? Because you're going to get what you say in the end. If all you're saying is how bad your husband is, that's what you're going to end up with. You better start saying, I got a good husband, man. I love that man. God help him. Amen? Pray good and say good things. Amen? Everybody's supposed to be saying that. Speaking it over your kids. You're smart. You'll grow up to be healthy and wise. Amen? Praise God. You've got to speak health and life out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. Woo! Amen. All right. Praise God. Tell you what, what I'm telling you today can change your life if you'll do it. Amen? Whoo, hallelujah. Oh, go ahead.
Hallelujah. I have some notes here that I wrote down in my Bible from when I was at Rhema. And one of them says, the purpose of the word is to produce belief so that you can govern what you think, say, and do. That's the purpose of the word of God. Amen? So we'll know what to think, say, and do. It means every day, from the time you get up till the time you go back to bed. Because faith is a spiritual law. Confession means to say what God's word says. Faith draws God. Fear draws demons. Now, these are all things that I heard at Rhema that came out of the instructor's mouths that I wrote down so I could remember them, and I put them in my Bible. Of course, my Bible's all falling apart now. Your body is your slave, not your master. You tell your body what to do because you have authority over your body. I have to tell my body every day what to do because it wants to do something else. It wants to cry and moan and groan and have a fit or whatever else. I have to tell it what to do.
Amen.
My body is my slave, not my master. I am the master of my body by speaking God's word over my body. You have to get your spirit strong in the Word of God in order for it to work. But you have to practice it. You have to do it every day. You have to think about it. You have to think about what you're going to say before it comes out of your mouth, because whoops, something might come out you don't really mean. Amen?
Yeah. You know, and also when God spoke to
Brother Hagin?
No, the guy that went into the promised land.
Oh. Moses?
No, the one.
Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua. He told him, I think it was Joshua 1:8, to meditate on the word of God continually. Do
day
not
and
let
night.
The word
depart.
Of God depart from your mouth. I think even tie strings on your ribbons on you to remind you of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And just do not depart from it. Just think on it, meditate on it, obey it. Why? So that everything you do will prosper. Everything you set your hand to will prosper and you will have victory. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. God wants us to prosper, amen, and have victory and overcome everything. And if you will do it, if you will do what the Word of God says, you will prosper. You will be victorious in life and overcome. Amen?
Amen.
That's the whole point of doing it. Amen? If we're left to our own means in our flesh and our stinking thinking,
Well,
we'll be in all just one big mess all the time like the world is. It's the Christians and the true believers, the born-again people that are holding back this earth from being destroyed right now. Man, we're the salt of the earth. We're the only ones standing saying no and resisting evil.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When we're taken out of the world through the rapture, there won't be any resistance left. It'll all just cave in, man, just real quick. Amen? So
listen to this one. Patience is holding you steady while faith is working. That's good, isn't
it? Faith and patience.
Uh-huh. Patience keeps you from giving up. So, anyway, I just wanted to encourage you with those words. Amen?
Amen. Who do we need to pray for today? Brother Dale, you look like you're... Are you okay?
Huh?
You need prayer? Okay. You want to sit right there and have us come over there? Okay.